Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
I'm sure you've listened to the news, read the newspapers, listened to podcasts. Subsequently, you know the world is really struggling right now. In essence, that's why we should explore what it looks like to have hope in terrible times. Speaking of terrible times, there's no doubt every generation has gone through terrible times. In fact, each generation might think their terrible times are the worst. Just ask someone from each generation. Regardless, this current generation has come into some terrible times, and it's pretty clear some deceptions have taken hold. Plus, there's been escalation in badness. This is a sign. Jesus is coming. Listen to this scripture. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Luke 21:27-28. Well, let's look deeper. Actually, the first verse we just went over, Luke 21:27, is one of my favorite memory verses this year. Here it is again. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. I love to repeat it and meditate on it. Truly, I must have a good imagination. I can see all kinds of really awesome pictures in my head. So, what comes to your mind when you picture the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory? Also, remember, Revelation 19:11 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. That is just incredible. Essentially, you can picture Jesus on a white horse with a banner that declares him faithful and true. Notice the text actually uses a capital letter for each of those adjectives, faithful and true. Interesting, to say the least. Now let's look at Luke 21:28, the second verse. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Honestly, this is simply a good way to live each day. Stand up, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Well, there's another to-the-point passage that we're going to look at today. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 is another very to-the-point passage. Let's listen to this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Wow, that was quite a list. It just kept going on and on. Did you see any of those things happening around you today? Well, let's look deeper still. The list that we just went through represents exceptionally well what is going on in our world today. Let's go through it again. I'm going to do it kind of by number, by point this time. Number one, people being lovers of themselves. Number two, lovers of money. Three, boastful. Four, proud. Five, abusive. Six, disobedient to authority. 7, ungrateful. 8, unholy. 9, without love. 10, unforgiving. 11, slanderous. 12, no self-control. 13, brutal. 14, not lovers of good. 15, treacherous. 16, rash. 17, conceited. And 18, lovers of pleasure. Wow, 18 pretty ugly character qualities. Does it get any worse? What a list! Sadly, what a mess. We treacherous people surely needed a savior, and the final one that I didn't even include in that list of 18 is the worst. Not lovers of God. So, what are undeniable conclusions? Well, one conclusion is that a lot of this stuff has been present from the beginning of time. Another conclusion is we very well could be living in the last days. Time is short. You've got to look at this. Truly, you can't just toss it to the side. Wouldn't you agree? Jesus' second coming is closer than it used to be. The first time, Jesus quietly slipped into a manger one dark night centuries ago. Reliably, he will come a second time, as he promised. However, this coming will be an event. It will change all history. Jesus will rip through the skies on his horse, bringing legions of angels. And guess what? Jesus will set up his government. All law and order will be on his shoulders. Isaiah 9:6 goes on to say, he will be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Well, in my estimation, there's one sin on the previous list at the very, very end that is the most despicable. Interestingly, it doesn't sound too terrible, especially compared to some of the other things on that list. However, I suggest this sin could well be the very worst. Here it is. It's from verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Why is this so bad? Well, sadly, that verse describes a person who is living as a fake, a shell, a robot, even a hypocrite, pretending to be a Christian, but denying the very essence of what makes you who you are in Christ. Tragically, this represents way too many people. Do you know someone like this? Additionally, that most despicable spiritual state involves seriously flawed thinking, claiming to be godly, but denying the actual power of God is completely illogical. In fact, it demotes God to a lesser place in one's thinking. The sad part? This kind of thinking and living can never yield fruit. It's not living by faith. And since it's impossible to please God without faith, which is from Hebrews 11, verse 6, it leaves a person empty. Essentially, Scripture says, that poor person is depraved. 2 Timothy 3:8b says, they are men of depraved minds. In this place, you will never nurture love for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or love for your neighbor. From Luke 10, verse 27, those are the first and second greatest commandments. Refusing to adopt and live by them creates a barrier between God and you. But in terrible times, you need God, and you need him intimately close. Hope in terrible times always flows directly from God. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did you know you can deliberately choose to believe God's love and goodness? Further, did you know you can actually enjoy him? beyond imagination. Did you know you are literally created to rest in God? Yes, even in terrible times. Subsequently, living like that will change your life. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, when times are increasingly terrible, what does hope require? Essentially, what does it look like? It is possible to name identifying qualities. I believe identifying qualities of hope can definitely be both identified and named. Let's look at the following list of identifiers. Quite literally, these statements define hope in terrible times. Plus, they are required in order to live confidently and joyfully in terrible times. Okay, so the first identifying quality of hope is this. Number one, humble yourself before the Lord. Number two, confess all sin. Three, repent, which means to turn and go the opposite direction. Number four, believe Jesus completely, which may feel a little bit like leaping off a cliff. Number five, obey everything God shows you with principles in His Word. He will show you how to live your life so you can succeed. Number six, enjoy God each moment. And number seven, rest in Jesus with confidence. Remember, He is faithful. So as a quick review of those identifying qualities of hope, let's quickly go through them again. One, humble yourself. Two, confess all sin. Three, repent. That means go the opposite direction of what you were going. Four, believe Jesus completely. Just jump off the cliff into His arms. Five, obey everything God shows you. Six, enjoy God each moment. And seven, rest in Jesus. Living in this reality sets you free as you begin to experience purpose and peace, even in terrible times. Now, before we explore the application thoughts and questions,
if you're enjoying this content, share it with someone else. Just click the share button on your podcast app.
So now for application thoughts and questions. As you think through and meditate on this material, here are some questions that might help. Number one, do you believe God can do anything? That He answers prayer? That He is everything He claims? Number two, do you believe God loves you? Perhaps you believe this, but still feel distant from Him. Three, is there a barrier you've kept between you and God? Interestingly, God has made His responses to you quite clear. He loves you ever so much. Number four, have you been clear in your responses back to God that you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Plus, that you commit to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. Five, who is your neighbor? Do you care about their salvation and life? Six, are you living with hope so your neighbor, matter of fact, all the people in your life, see God's hope during terrible times? Seven, is there anything you will be ashamed about when Jesus returns on His beautiful white horse with the banner that names Him Faithful and True? I'd like to mention a series on hope that we just completed a short time ago. Here's a list of the episodes in that series. It's really good. So I encourage you to go through your feed and find these episodes. Number one, A Message of Hope. Number two, Pinhole of Hope. Three, You Are Included. Four, Change Me, Lord, New Hope. Five, strong hope, and number 6, let go. It'll be okay. In addition to that series on hope, we have a course on our website called Hope Does Not Disappoint. Sign up for this free resource and dig in and discover more things about hope. And be encouraged in hope during terrible times. Portions of this content come from my book, More Epistles for an iGeneration, Relevant in a Digital Age. It's a devotional book that takes you through all of Paul's letters that follow 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'll find practical action points that help you know God better and nurture personal growth. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.